At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is
Suckers!
I'm Kaylin Bell.
I'm Dean Bell.
And I'm Jared Haben.
An iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, world. Hello, nation. Hello, Kaylin. Hello, listener. Thank you so much for joining us on this very first, the inaugural episode of what I think I'm going to call Dean's Lounge.
Ooh.
Lounge Dean.
I like Dean's Lounge.
I was kind of trying to play with some ideas of what I could call this, but I don't know if I really like either of those enough, but they're the two best that I came up with.
That's all. That's what you came up with?
Those were the only two.
Lounge Dean or Dean's Lounge?
I've been working hard on this.
What? I'm just kidding. I love it.
Because at an airport, you go to the Centurion Lounge or the Capital One Lounge.
Oh, interesting.
Did you not put that together?
Nope.
Oh my. Wait, you must have.
No, I didn't.
Oh, so what did you think it was then?
I don't know. I'm just in your cute little office lounging. You had this like velvety voice on. So I'm like, oh, I'm in Dean's Lounge.
Well, it's nice to record at night.
About to play the sax, you know?
It is currently 8 p.m. in Colorado, and normally we record in the morning, and I'm just a little grumpy goose in the morning, so I can turn on my sultry voice at night at least.
You always turn on your sultry voice, but you do have more energy at night. You're a little, grumpy goose is correct.
Yeah, thank you. So Lounge Dean is the working title of this spinoff.
I like Dean's Lounge.
Podcast.
Now that I get it, I guess Lounge Dean is good.
Lounge Dean. It leaves something to be desired, and I don't know what yet, and I haven't cleared this with iHeartRadio, so none of this is official. It's just me and my thoughts, mostly. But you might be asking yourself, what am I even listening to right now? Why am I here? And that's a really good question. So what we've done, if you haven't already gone back and listened to Kaylin's podcast, the pop culture podcast, Kaylin's Pop.
Love it.
If you haven't listened to that, go back and give that a listen. She's going to be updating the pop culture every single week on her own episode, separate from our main podcast with Jared. And Jared's going to be doing his daddy talk. Talk daddy to me.
Great. You're really good at this.
I'm good at you guys. I'm not good at myself, I guess.
No, I like Lounge Dean.
And my thing, it was harder for me to think of something for me to do because Jared's great father, Kaylin, she's got her hand to the pulse of pop culture. So she's pretty perfect for that.
I have more interesting things about me than just being obsessed with pop culture. It makes me sound a little uninteresting.
No, of course.
No, I know. I know you weren't trying to say that. It's just, you know, my own insecurity.
No, you do have very many amazing things that you could have talked about, but you chose to talk about that.
Yeah, it's just fun to talk about.
It's good. And it's not, I don't want to say easy. Easy is not the right word, but it you always have something to talk about, which is good.
That's true.
Some weeks more than others, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're always going to have topics and you're always going to have things to touch on. So if you haven't listened yet, go listen to Kaylin's episode on the same, under the same podcast umbrella. Suckers. Is that what we are now? Suckers?
We are suckers.
Yes. And I wanted to do travel. And it took a lot of convincing to the higher ups at iHeartRadio to let me do travel, because they're like, Dean, what are you gonna what do you have to offer here? And I was like, just give me something, just give me one thing, and that one thing can be travel. And they graciously accepted that idea, and so now here we are. So what I'm gonna do this first episode, we're just gonna kind of lay a baseline, lay a little bit of a foundation for the future episodes, and just kind of see where it goes. You know, I'm not expecting much. I hope you don't expect much out of me either. Not you, Kaylin, you, the listener. I hope the listener doesn't expect much out of me. I'm going to do my best, but we'll see how it goes. I feel like sometimes on our main pod, I don't get to talk enough about my experiences. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because I don't really like to talk about my experiences all that much anyways. But this could be a good creative outlet for that.
I think it'll be great for you. Having three hosts is a challenge. And, well, maybe not so much so for me, because I don't speak a ton anyways.
You started.
But it's good for us to each have our own outlets, you know, because yeah. We do get cut off. There are three co-hosts. So it's great for us to be able to have this and talk about things that we're passionate about.
Yeah. And I often would rather have someone, I'd rather ask a question than answer someone's question. You know, I'd rather kind of put the topic somewhere else and get someone else involved in a conversation than me take the reins. Self-promotion has never really been my big thing. So whenever I go somewhere and do something really cool and I come back and like, I kind of want to talk about it, but if no one like brings it up naturally, I'm not going to go out of my way to like bring it up, you know?
Well, I'm excited to hear what you have on today's agenda.
Yeah. There's not much. Like I said, this first episode is going to be a foundation builder. I've done enough trips internationally separately to probably have about a year's worth of content of trips to talk about.
Way more than a year.
A year to start. I don't know. Maybe a year might be kind of like where I'm at right now. Hopefully we can keep adding to that as time goes on. But that's just trips alone. I also want to be able to touch on things like traveling on a budget, traveling affordably, because that's kind of what I like to do personally.
And then he married me. And then huge mistake.
And then that was a big mistake. I don't regret it one bit, but it was a big mistake.
I think that's going to be really popular because everyone wants to know how to travel on a budget.
Yeah, I did compile some stats about traveling and some barriers to entry. We'll get to that later, but yeah, so I want to touch on some things like budgeting and traveling and maybe even like some photography tips and stuff like that, because I hope by now you all know that at least I'm interested in photography. I know I'm not very good at it yet, but I'm still working on it. And it's good to have you here too, because I like to gas myself down and you're pretty good at getting me gassed back up. So
that's my job as your wife. I also think we should talk you, because this is your lounge, talk about, you know, recovering from jet lag, how not to get sick, because we do travel quite a bit. And those are things that we have to overcome. And we are heading to Australia tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to fight that jet lag real hard.
Yeah. That's just like a standalone episode of how to maybe, or even just like one subject on a standalone episode of how to fight jet lag. But we can do some
research. Just trying to give you more ideas.
No, I appreciate that. So I just wanted to go back to the very beginning. The very beginning of time, i.e. when I was born. And I've talked about this on our main podcast a little bit, not too in depth, but I was born in Jersey, and this might get a little boring and monotonous, but I'm just going to go through. We got to walk before we can run here. So I was born in Jersey. When I was a year old, my family moved into a converted Greyhound bus. So there were six of us in a bus and we drove all throughout the U.S. I always used to tell people we hit every single state in the U.S., but to be totally honest, I have absolutely no idea.
I don't think you did.
I'm sure we didn't. Obviously,
especially because you landed in Colorado.
Yeah, like we didn't go to Washington or Oregon. We didn't go any further west than here. But it's a fun anecdote to add. Like, yeah, I've been to every state in the U.S. Surely I have not. Mm. And even if I have, I was too young to remember. But it did. I think it did instill a bit of a wanderlust, if you will, because it was me, my two brothers, and my sister, and my two parents. So there were six of us on this like 40-foot-long Greyhound bus with bunk beds and a master bedroom in the back. And we were doing it on a budget back then. My dad was like selling temporary tattoos, doing odd jobs just to be able to afford gas for the bus that we were living in. And then we eventually settled in Colorado. And Kaylin and I just moved to Colorado, actually, funny enough, just 10 minutes down the road from where I grew up. So a lot of this might be interesting for you to hear, but I don't think it'll come as a surprise for any of it. So growing up here in this area specifically, and Colorado as a whole, I feel like is not very diverse. It's especially in the Roaring Fork Valley, it's almost exclusively Caucasian and Hispanic, like 50-50 split, maybe with like a couple other ethnicities sprinkled in there, but you're not going to get much diversity out here. So growing up here, you don't get to see much. And I think I always wanted to have the chance to kind of get out and see more things. Kaylin, how's it going over there?
I'm just listening.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to make sure. I feel like if you're not paying attention to me, then they're not going to be paying attention to me.
I know all this stuff.
Oh, but
I'm listening.
You can at least pretend to be interested. Thanks. And so that's where I think a lot of the curiosity came from. We were also very poor, so I didn't travel out of the state even until I was 17. I went to Mexico with my friends in high school, and I had to get a passport for that. But obviously, you have to get a passport at some point. And then I went to college, and it was kind of more the same. I think what it really comes down to for people at the end of the day is you need to have time or money. If you don't have time, but you have money, you don't have time to go travel. If you have time, but you don't have money, you can't afford to go travel. And that's, I feel like, encompasses most of Americans or just people in general that want to travel but can't. And so I went to college, didn't have any money, obviously. Graduated college, worked for a couple of years, didn't have any money, but I didn't have any time either, I guess. So I didn't have either of those things. Then we went on The Bachelor, and then we were granted this luxury of having a lot of time, and people started paying us money for not doing really much. And so it kind of gave us money and time, which is a good thing. And that's kind of when traveling took off. For me personally, I know it was kind of the same for you, right? Like, you had always wanted to travel. You traveled with your boyfriend to Japan. But other than that, you hadn't really done much before The Bachelor, I don't think.
Yeah, I had gone to the Bahamas was when I got my first passport. Bahamas, Japan, Thailand, Singapore, and that was it.
And that was all with the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was all when you were like 23, probably?
Yeah, that's when I went on the show too. So 22.
22, right. So neither of us really did any traveling until we were in our 20s. I hadn't even been on an airplane. I didn't even see a skyscraper until I was 18 years old, probably. True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight. And honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy, and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
So then eventually I had the ability and the luxury to start doing that. And I never really thought it would be any kind of thing, but it was really nice when I started traveling semi-frequently and I would get back from trips and I would have friends reach out to me and ask me like traveling tips or like destinations that they should go or just things like that, where they started to kind of see you as someone that maybe could give them good advice on those things. I remember I did a trip once and I got back and one of my friends who I really admired was like asking me a bunch of questions about his potential trip going out there. And I was like, oh, wow, this is cool to like actually have something to talk about, because I don't know. Having experiences to talk about is so much easier than so many other things where you're just basically recounting your experience versus like trying to say something thought provoking. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So then I started traveling, obviously, and eventually bought my first camera, and then it kind of just snowballed into this big thing. I still think that I have not traveled nearly as much as a lot of my peers, people that I consider peers in this space at least, do. People that are like living permanently on the road, and obviously those days are kind of behind me now that, married, dog, house, wife, that kind of falls under the umbrella of married, but I hope it doesn't slow down too much. You know, we're going to Australia tomorrow, as Kaylin said. I have like kind of talking about some trips later on in the year too, but it just has to be a lot more thoughtful now. Whereas before I could just pick up and go for a week or two, but now you kind of have to like take a lot more things into consideration, you know? So that's where we're at. The foundation of this podcast is I want to recount some of those experiences. I want to be able to hopefully help people understand things that maybe they hadn't had the chance to understand before listening to this podcast. You know, like I spun off that travel blog and it was kind of the same thing. I felt like I didn't really have much to offer, but I wanted to be able to give someone something. And so the only thing that I could really think of was like, well, I just can outline everything that I spent because that's what I did. And that's all I have to do is just go back and talk about the things that I had already done. And what I hate when you see all these people posting on Instagram of all these amazing trips and amazing photos and like incredibly corny captions. But you always, in the back of my head, at least, I'm always wondering like, how much did that trip cost? Like, where are they getting this money? How could you go all the way halfway across the world and fly back and not even miss a beat? And so that's kind of where that whole travel blog thing came about. I wasn't really very motivated to write very much. I'm not very good at it or motivated to, I guess. And I still write sometimes, but not as often as I should. But that's where we're at now. And so I have a couple stats that I want to ask you real quick. So I looked these up just before we recorded the podcast and they're kind of...
Is this trivia?
No, it's not really trivia, but just kind of interesting stats of Americans and traveling. And it's not like super well researched or that in depth or anything. It's kind of just surface level. But if you were to guess between men and women, who do you think travels more, men or women outside of the country?
Women.
You do?
Yeah.
I was surprised to learn that women do. 32% of women are more likely to travel out of the country than men, which is only 22% of men.
I think women are more curious than men.
Yeah, I could see that. I've always just kind of like through my perspective of seeing your experience with travel, like it's just a little safer for men to travel.
Definitely. And it's funny that you say that because when we first started dating, you didn't totally grasp that, that it's safer for men to travel solo than it is for women. But I also grew up with a mom who's like scared of everything. And so I was scared of everything. And then going out into the world, I'm like, the world isn't that scary.
Yeah. And do you still feel that way?
That the world isn't scary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing I've always encouraged too, is solo trips, I think, are maybe the most important thing someone can do for themselves.
I booked a trip to Paris in May or July.
Did
or something.
You?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
I did, because I had that credit that was expiring.
Yeah, you said you were thinking about it.
No, I booked it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so women on average are more like almost 1.5 times more likely to travel than men, which I thought was really interesting. And then another thing that I thought was interesting, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but price, or I guess finances. Survey results showed 76% of the respondents wanted to travel more than they do, but they can't because of a lack of finances or just feeling underprepared or ill-equipped to travel. And more specifically, 63% of Americans who have never left the country said an international trip would be out of their price range. And for me, that totally strikes home, because before going on television, I couldn't even dream of spending an extra couple $1,000s to go on a trip, because I needed that money to eat and to pay my rent and all that stuff.
I think that's something you could touch on too in future episodes, is like, I am such a planner, and since being married to you and being with you for 5 years, it's made me have to be more lax. Like, I thought you have to travel, you have to book your flights, you have to book every hotel, you have to plan every single thing out, and you kind of fly by the seat of your pants in the best way. And that's like a topic in affordable traveling too. It's like, if you block these dates off for work, you can buy a cheap flight like the day before, a week before, you know, and there's ways to cut around that. And you can just go somewhere and not have anything booked, and it becomes the best trip ever, like we've done.
Yeah. And there's certain areas that obviously that's better in, like Southeast Asia, you can get away with that a lot more. South America, it's harder to do that in like a lot of the Western European countries.
I was thinking it's pretty easy in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
I did it in Europe this past summer with MK.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you could always find cheaper accommodations, but I also think that there are options to have very lavish accommodations, which that's kind of what I associate Western Europe with. But you're absolutely right. I think you could find hostels for $20-$30 a night. And just a matter of getting there is the biggest thing. So like, if you book out a flight, even like 5 or 6 months in advance, just get it super cheap and then just block those days off. Just getting there is usually the biggest expense.
Or opposite, because MK, back to MK, she was telling me, she just flew to Paris, and she's like, if you book a flight like the week of or a few days before, it's actually really cheap.
Yeah, you can get lucky with that, but I would never bank on that.
No, I'm saying if you block those dates off and you get lucky,
yeah,
it's a good way to travel cheaply.
Got to get lucky though.
Yeah.
Which is fine. If you're willing to take that risk, that's totally fine. I remember I did a trip once where I circumnavigated the world, was my plan. I flew west. I just kept flying west until I got back to Los Angeles. And the only flights that I had really booked were LA to Japan, and then Japan to Indonesia. And then from there, I would just like 2 days before I wanted to leave Indonesia, I'd book a flight. I booked a flight to Malaysia, spent a couple days there, booked a flight to Singapore. And that's kind of how I did that trip. And it worked out. I got, you know, some of the flights ended up being kind of expensive, but I would say majority of them I got at a pretty fair rate. And then like, once you get to Western Europe, you can fly really cheaply. I was really surprised to see how expensive, for lack of a better word, domestic flights in South America were, because you can fly from like Germany to Greece for $30, but then flying from Argentina to Brazil is $400. And it's like, it's basically the same distance and it's within the same continent. You would think it'd be a little cheaper, but it's not sometimes. What else did I want to touch on before we say goodbye? Because we're going to keep these quick. We're going to keep them light. And I wanted to say there was this quote from Nat Geo. Oh, I was researching a little bit about like, why do people travel? Like, what is the reason that we have such a yearning to want to travel? What do you think yours is?
I just want to see and experience other cultures and meet people. I don't know.
There was an interesting stat.
Great food.
I didn't write this down to talk about specifically, but I do remember reading about it just recently, was college graduates are more likely to travel than non-college graduates. Which kind of makes sense, but I didn't think there'd be such a drastic correlation between those two things. But I do think, like, you know, if you do have a yearning for higher education, maybe that kind of comes with an excitement to explore a little bit.
I wonder if that'll change soon, because less and less people are going to college because it's not as necessary.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And I feel the same way too, but I mean, you can't argue the stats. You know, it was like almost like triple whatever a non-college graduate wanted to travel was college graduate. And here I am, a college graduate, not even knowing how to talk. Not that really makes a difference anymore. But according to this Nat Geo article I read, it says moving to a neighboring band is always an option to avoid brewing conflict or just for a change in social scenery. The great affair is to move. So like even back to the roots of when we were way underdeveloped and like just like foraging and hunting, we would move around a lot more than I think people gave us credit for. Obviously, we're not going quite as far because airplanes didn't exist way back then. But you're still moving around a lot. And I do think that urge to move around has kind of been instilled in us for a long time. Airplanes just kind of shook the ground because now we can jump on one and be somewhere else in 10 hours, somewhere all the way across the world. And then in that same article, I was wondering like the psychological benefits of traveling, because you think there's got to be some. And there was some stats and some analytics to back this, but they did say traveling is good for you according to science. They did scientific studies and it actually does benefit your mental health, which makes sense. Every time I'm traveling, you know, you get excited, you're optimistic about what the new place might be. You're curious about new experiences. And then even when you come back, you're still kind of beaming a little bit from it and you get to share that experience with all your friends, which I think is really cool and fun. And that's a big part of it for me as well. So that's basically what we're going to talk about here, traveling. Hopefully it doesn't get stale. I feel like it's already gotten stale.
No. It won't get stale. It's not stale.
I do. So what we're going to do is like next week, I want to talk in great depth about, let's say, a trip that I took to Argentina 7 years ago. And I can hopefully kind of go through like my experiences there. And if you're planning a trip similar to that, you can use that hopefully as a resource. But
also, people should write in if there's a place that Dean's visited that caught your eye or something you want to learn more about. Just email us, DM us.
Yeah, DM us. DM our Instagram page. It's still Helped by Suck at Dating, but we're working on that.
We're trying.
Yeah, so that's going to do it. I know this is kind of like this is a quick run through and it's kind of a half-baked idea at this point, but I hope you guys keep listening and I hope you guys can hopefully just learn. I hate saying learn something. It makes me feel so freaking snooty, but
it's not snooty.
But I want to be able to help people. And so hopefully this can help people. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. So yeah, stay tuned. This is just week one. We got a lot of kinks to work out. I'm going to keep doing my best to prepare. And hopefully, you know, this turns out to be good for people. Mm-hmm. Myself specifically.
Yeah. I thought you were going to lead into and maybe next week we'll suck a little bit less.
There we go. Why would I need to lead into it when you do it all on your own? Maybe next week we'll suck just a little bit less. Should we change that? Maybe next week we'll travel just a little bit more. It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock.
On Thursday, February 29th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can celebrate an extra day of Black History Month with Walmart. This event is free and open to the public at two locations: Flatiron Plaza in New York City, and Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles.
With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products.
It's free, it's for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart.
Trust, you don't want to miss it.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.